You have your Bibles and you want to follow along, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 7 this morning, Matthew chapter 7, and I can already tell switching it from my home computer to this computer, you can see that there's an N left off, so it's there, it probably just got kicked down off the screen. So we're going to look at this morning's sermon, A Home's Foundation. We're starting our quarter this last 3 months of the year on the home. And we'll have some more things to say about that in a minute. But as you're turning to Matthew chapter 7, I'd like to just take a second and just welcome all of our members here, all of our visitors. If you're visiting with us, we're so thankful you could be here. It's good to be back with you this week. Last week I was gone in Portland, Oregon. And thank you to Jonathan for filling in there and preaching last week. I'm just going to, I think, stop going out of town. Because every time I go out of town, I ask someone to preach. I come back, someone says, You've almost lost your job. So I'm just going to probably just stay here for the time being. But Jonathan, I hear, just did a wonderful job, and thank you for doing that. And thank you all again for being here this morning. You know, growing up in California and on the West Coast, I experienced several earthquakes. And some of you have talked to me about that in my time here, and I'd say I would much rather experience an earthquake than I would a tornado. But some of you see that the exact opposite, probably because I grew up with earthquakes and I was used to them. But it was a terrifying thing because if you can imagine just the ground shaking beneath you, and there's really nothing you could do. There's no preparation for it. There's no shelter to seek. There's no weather channel telling you that we think there's going to be an earthquake at this point. It's just an earthquake starts and you do your best to get into a safe place as fast as you can. And what maybe lasts 5 to 10 seconds seems like it lasts several minutes. And many times the earthquakes were not strong enough to do any visible damage. You know, you see things on the news, especially in other countries where maybe their buildings aren't quite up to code, and you see buildings laying in rubble and towns in rubble. And I never experienced anything that strong. But however, it wasn't what you could see that was the issue. It's what you couldn't see. Because obviously when the ground shakes and if it's strong enough, it could cause huge damage to the foundation of the home. And so what you'll see in the foundation of the home as it starts to shake and as it starts to resettle, you'll see cracks starting to appear in the home. And you'll see maybe even some things start falling off the shelf days after the earthquake because the home is having to resettle down into the ground that it sits. And although the home itself might remain unharmed, the weakened foundation is what can bring a house crumbling down. There's even been stories I remember growing up where it was weeks after an earthquake or a bigger earthquake would happen where people would have to leave and evacuate their home because as it began to settle, the foundation was now so weak that the house would literally start to fall apart weeks after the initial earthquake. And most people know, in fact, we've had, I'm sure, sermons and Bible classes on this idea already, but any building is only as good as its foundation. And as we move on to this next quarter, and this last quarter in this year of raising the standard, we're going to combine all the puzzle pieces that we've had this year together already. We focused on service, we focused on worship, we have focused on leadership, and now we're going to put all those pieces together, and we're going to look at what God's standard is for all those things in the home. And it's when those things aren't placed in the home that we can truly begin to learn maybe where our foundations are. And when those things are properly placed in the home, we can begin to learn what God's standard is all about for our families. And I would like to say this, that this quarter is not just going to focus on the individual homes that we all have. That's going to be a big part of it. However, what we're going to focus on is the home of the Lord's church. The home of heaven. And if we don't have our foundations properly set now, then the home of heaven and the homes that we have here on this earth and even the church can't properly stand against the earthquakes and the storms of life. Most people would say that they have a good home life. And I think most Christian families would say that they have good relationships, successful jobs. Maybe their kids are successful in school or sports. That the families love one another and they respect one another. We can go on and on to say what makes a good home life, and I'm sure most people would say that their home life is excellent. Their home life is good. Could it maybe have some tweaking? Are there things we need to work on? Well, absolutely. Every family has those things. But for the most part, we would say that I think our home lives are good. However, as we mentioned before, I think a home, and as we'll look at this morning, a home can look unharmed at first glance. But when the foundation is weak, the home is destined to fall. And that's something that Jesus spoke about here at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. If you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, these will be some of the only verses we look at this morning, but I want to draw out as much as we can from these verses. You know, Jesus has just gone through the whole Sermon on the Mount. Wonderful things in there. In fact, I think it was about a year and a half, 2 years ago, we had a class on the Sermon on the Mount. And we could have spent months and months on just looking at all the topics in this. And a lot of it has to do about with our individual responsibility as Christians. There is a little bit about our home life, but how we treat other people and how we respect one another and how we ought to just live our daily lives. But he gets to the end of it. And he says something about the foundations that we build ourselves on. Starting in verse 24 of Matthew chapter 7. Here's his conclusion on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." You know, as we go throughout these next 3 months, and as we finish this year on raising the standard and looking at the home, what I want us all to try to do is I want us all to try to look at our homes with fresh eyes. You know, it's easy to look at our families. It's easy to look at our church family and even our goal of our home in heaven and see nothing but good. Because what we don't like to do is we don't like to look at the faults that either we have ourselves or the people we love have. We don't like to see the things that we need to work on. We don't like to talk about things that aren't going the way they should be going. We don't like to see the failures and the shortcomings in our home because that means we have to admit we didn't do something right. However, as we go throughout these next couple months, if we're truly going to raise ourselves to God's standard, especially in the home, what we have to stop doing is lowering the standard to what we think it should be set at. And that's been our theme all along. Instead of lowering God's standard to say, well, I know God says this about the home, and here's what the home should be like, but this is what our home is like, and so we've kind of set the standard a little bit lower. Well, that's not going to do us any good at all. In fact, what we need to do, instead of lowering the standard to what we think it should be and meeting our expectations, we need to strive to do better to raise ourselves to the standard and the expectations that God has set in place. And here in these short few verses here, four verses, I think Jesus places expectations on each one of our personal lives, on each one of our home lives, and even not just our daily lives as Christians. Where he talks about two houses. And he talks about these houses being built. And we don't know anything about these houses, as we'll look at in just a moment. But they were built on two very different foundations, one on the rock and one on the foundation of the sand. And Jesus says that both of these houses endured storms, that there was rains that descended, the floods came, and the winds blew. And when those things happened, the one that was set on the foundation of the rock stood firm. It was able to stand tall. And he says the one that was on the foundation of the sand, it fell. And not only did it fall, he ends his whole Sermon on the Mount, and great was its fall. You know, I want to notice a couple things about what Jesus was concerned with here. And not concerned with. Notice that Jesus was not concerned. When he's talking about these foundations, Jesus was not concerned with the physical appearance of the house. And I think that's important to know. He doesn't go into anything about what this house looks like. Is it one story or two? Does it have a big yard or does it have a small yard? What kind of flowers did they plant? Did they plant flowers and fruits and trees that were local to the region there that he's preaching in? How many windows did it have? How many doors did it have? Did it have a swimming pool? Is there a nice place to park the donkey and cart? I don't know what people were concerned with back then, but he wasn't concerned with it. He could care less what each one of these houses looked like. He didn't care about the physical appearance of the house. He didn't care about the materials used to build the house. Was it made out of bricks, sticks, or straw? Was it a log cabin? Did they have wood floors, nice wood floors? Could they not afford wood floors, so did they have to put carpet or tile, linoleum,
Are the countertops granite? He didn't care what was in the house. He didn't care the materials used in the house. And he didn't care about the decorating of the house. What color paint was used? What color scheme? How many pillows on the couch? What kind of curtains were purchased? What pictures are going to be hanging on the walls? Do you put a real tree in the corner or do you put a fake tree in the corner? He didn't care about what the inside of the house looked like. And note that none of these things mattered to Jesus. The houses were built, essentially what I think we can get from the story, although I understand that this is more of a parable-like story and not an actual story, the houses were built by two separate people in very two different places. And so the houses were going to look different because they were different builders building different houses. But what we see is Jesus was only concerned with one thing, and that's where the house was built and what the house was built on. He was only concerned about the foundation upon which the house was built. One house decided to build on the solid foundation of rock. And Jesus is making a very strong point here, where especially at the beginning, he says, "Therefore, whoever hears these words of mine," or sayings of mine, "and does them." He says that foundation of the rock are the words of which he just spoke. And I think we can conclude that the foundation of the rock today is not just the words of the Sermon on the Mount that he just spoke, but the entirety of God's Word. And he's saying it's this rock that is solid and sturdy and strong. Now rock isn't invincible, but it's not easily moved or broken at the same time. The other house was built on sand. Sand is soft and is formed to the shape of whatever is molding it. And sand can be a powerful thing, but when tested by wind and water or any of the other elements, it can become very weak. If any of you have ever been to the ocean and you stick your feet down in the sand by the waves, you notice that as the waves come up against your feet and goes back out again, what starts to happen is your feet will start sinking slowly deeper and deeper into the sand. That's because the sand is not a solid foundation. It's being moved and warped by the water that keeps coming in and coming out. And Jesus is making a point here, I believe, that the foundation upon where we are building is much more important. You know, when you think about our home's foundation, I found this quote, and I think it's great to describe maybe some of the things we're going to be talking about over the next months. But when you talk about our home's foundation, and not talking about the physical home, but what we say is too often when it comes to our houses, that is our families, our people, who we are, the families that we're raising, he says we are so concerned with what other people see. And I think that's also true about the physical. We get so concerned about the physical house, how big it is, how many square feet, what's decorated with. Is it brick or is it made out of some other material? We concern ourselves with our physical houses, but more important, when we look at our families, we're so concerned about what other people see. When it comes to our families, we want to appear better than maybe what we truly are. When we think about a church, we want to appear better than maybe what we truly are. We want people to see that our family has nice things. We want people to see the clothes we wear. We want people to see our jobs, our cars, and our accomplishments. We want people to see that our family gets along. Everyone loves each other. That we have the most well-behaved kids. We want people to see the sports we play, the activities we are in. We want people to see everything we do. So we spend hours on social media comparing and contrasting ourselves to other families or other people's families. We want to be perceived as normal. We want people to see that we have it all together. We want people to believe our homes are perfect. In fact, a study was done about Facebook and Instagram several months ago, and it says that most people admit that one of the only reasons they have Facebook and Instagram is to keep up with other families, to see what they are doing so they can compare. That's just the society that we have become, where we want to appear that we have it more put together than maybe we actually do. And what I see here from these four verses on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus could care less about what the house looks like. I believe Jesus is only concerned about whether your house is built, the foundation of Christ or the foundation of the world. Now, as we'll look at in a minute, I believe if the foundation is properly set, then the house will be built accordingly. So I'm not saying we can't worry about any of those things. And we want to get along. We want to love each other. And there are things that our house will look like if we're building on the foundation of Christ. But what Jesus is most concerned about here is Jesus wants to see that if our foundation is on the rock of His words or the sand of the world. And if the foundation is set on the rock of His words, the rest of the house will take care of itself. You know, each family is so unique. It doesn't take long to look out at all the families here, even just at Marion Street, and see that each family is unique. Each family has different individual needs, different individual wants, different attitudes, different parenting styles. Different kids. But every family here has the same goal. And that is, we all want to be in heaven together as one family. And so my question is this. We're so many of us, myself included, are so concerned about the physical things of this world or how we are perceived by other people. Shouldn't it be the other way around where we're not concerned with that? We're more concerned about how we can help each other all get to our eternal home of heaven? If my kids are misbehaving, I expect someone to tell me so that I could fix it. Why? Because I want them in heaven. If I'm misbehaving, we have a responsibility to help each other fix the flaws in our homes so that we can all be in heaven together. If our foundation has not been properly set, then how can we finish building the rest of the house? Just like the decorations, the building materials, the physical appearance, the homes will differ from builder to builder. And as we build our spiritual homes, they're going to differ from family to family. My family will not be the same as yours. I'm going to parent differently than you. Some of you might not agree with some of the things I do with my kids, and that's okay. And I might disagree with some of the things you do with your kids, and that's okay. But we all have one goal and one mission, and that's to make it to heaven. There's no right way or wrong way to handle certain situations. However, if we're not living and working and parenting and teaching from the foundation of the rock, then it doesn't matter how nice our families and homes appear to other people, it can all come crashing down in an instant. And the same is true, unfortunately, for the church. Churches nowadays are so concerned with such trivial things. We want to appear like a strong, healthy church, and our society associates strength with numbers. The more people we have, the stronger the church is. The more youth groups we have, the stronger the church. The more activities we offer, the stronger the church. The more young families we have, the stronger the church. Are the Bible classes boring? Well, it must not be a strong church. The preacher's not very good? Well, obviously, it's not a strong church. There aren't enough things for the teen, so it's not a strong church. And now listen, I'm not saying any of those things are wrong or bad to focus on. But those things are not what makes a strong church. They could be the products of a strong church, but that's not what makes a strong church. A church's strength, what we see here is a church's strength does not come in the number of people or the number of programs it offers, but whether or not it is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. I've said this before in a lesson, but I've worshipped at a group of almost 600 people. And I've preached and taught and held meetings at places where there's maybe only 25 people. And I've been to places before where the larger numbers does not equal strength. Could the 600 maybe take the 25 in a fight? Yeah, maybe. But if it was a spiritual battle, maybe the 25 could take the 600 any day. That's something I think God has taught us throughout the history of His Word. It only took Gideon 300 men, but with the power of God, he was able to defeat an army. David was only a shepherd boy, but with the power of God, he was able to defeat a giant. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 2, if you do want to turn with me there, this is one other verse we'll look at this morning, but in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter makes one thing very clear about this home of the church that we look at here. Starting in verse 6, he says, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, he says, "Therefore it is all contained in the Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected, he becomes the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed." Now, if this doesn't recall the memory of the story we just read in Matthew chapter 7, I don't know what will. He very clearly points out that he is laid in Zion a chief cornerstone. That is Jesus Christ. That is, we are being built up, right? Those are verses we didn't read just for time's sake, but we're being built up as living stones. And he says we're being built up on the foundation of the chief cornerstone of Jesus Christ. And he says we have a choice here. And in verse 6, "He who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient," and then he starts talking about if we're not going to listen to the words and be disobedient to the words of Christ, then he's going to become a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. The very end of verse 8, they stumble being disobedient to the word. That is, Jesus said, "Those who hear these words of mine and do not do them, I will liken them to a foolish man who built his house on the sand." Because he didn't listen to the words. Or maybe we can argue he listened, but he didn't follow. He wasn't obedient. And here Peter's saying almost the exact same thing. There are people in here who are trying to build up their homes, but yet they're just not doing what God wants them to do. And if we're doing that, he says, he becomes a stone of stumbling. They stumble being disobedient to the word. Just like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. However, those who hear the words and do them as obedient followers, Christ becomes precious. The chief cornerstone. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. When we look at our homes and we look at the church, if Christ is not the foundational cornerstone upon which we are building, we are destined to fall. And the way we appear, the way we look, whether it's in our home or as a church, does not make our families strong. He said, what makes a family strong is if they have the foundation of the words of Christ. And as we build our homes, and as we look at starting to build our homes, we need to take a serious look on where we're building, on how we're building. Our houses are all going to look different, but they can all be founded on the same place, and that is the rock of Christ and His words. I think there are three truths we're going to try to bring out over the next couple months. Three truths to building your home that I want us to just remember and recall, and maybe keep this sheet in your Bible or in a notebook or a folder somewhere, and come back to these truths. Because as we focus on building our home, we're going to look at not only several things, and like I said, in regards to our homely lives and our secular families, but even building the church and building ourselves up to our home in heaven. There are several truths that we need to be aware of, three of which are these. The first one, the first truth of building your home, you know, you can make any home look good, but are you hiding or fixing the flaws? Brooke and I love to watch several of the shows on TV that are, you know, where they take an old clunker of a house and they just rip it to shreds and they build it back up, and it's always so beautiful. And I remember when we were thinking about moving here, and maybe you're in this position now, you're thinking about purchasing a home. It always looks so easy on TV, right? Buy a clunker, you save money, and just do all the work yourself and rip it all out and start fresh. And I love things like that. I love those TV shows like that. But something always comes up in one of those shows. Doesn't matter what channel, what show it is. Every episode always has something where once they're tearing out the old, they always find something wrong with the house. There's a crack in the foundation. There's a beam missing, or they accidentally knocked out a supporting wall, or whatever it is. And then there's always the issue of, you know, how much it's going to cost to fix it. And so there's always a conversation along these lines. We can fix it, but it's going to take some work and some time. It might set our renovation time, you know, back several weeks, but it's also going to cost thousands of dollars. Or We can do a little quick patch, and it's something you can take care of down the road, but this is just a temporary fix, but it's going to save you time and it's going to save you money right now. And there's always that conversation, right? Well, what do we do? Do we fix it and take the time and the effort to fix it, or do we just kind of do a patchwork job and maybe come back to it later or forget about it until a bigger problem arises? And so are they just hiding it, or are they fixing it? So often when it comes to our families, we want the quick fix. What's going to make the kids happy right now? What's going to make my wife or my husband happy right now? What will give us the satisfaction we're looking for right now? What's going to make this church grow right now? But let's be honest. Every church, every family has its flaws. We all have things we need to work on. Every individual has their flaws, things we need to work on. The question is, are we working on them? Are we striving to dig down deep into the foundation of God's Word to make sure we are fixing the things that we need to work on in our lives, or are we just simply glossing them over and hiding them? Are we taking the time to work with our children on how they love and serve and become obedient to God? Are we teaching our teens the importance of Bible class and attending services and serving other people? Sometimes the easy thing to do is just hide the flaws. Show up to services, pretend like everything is just fine. Sometimes it's easy to post a picture on Facebook or Instagram showing our families dressed nice and looking happy. And I do the same thing, but maybe sometimes there's issues, problems that we need to work on. It's time we take a serious look at our spiritual homes. Are there problems? Let's identify them. Are there things that need to be fixed? Let's not hide them. Let's fix them, and let's dig deep into the foundation of God's Word. Secondly, another truth about building your home is homes will not stay new forever. But even a worn home can have some charm. I had this ideal image of purchasing our first home, that it would always be in wonderful condition because it's your first home. And you spend a lot of money on a home, and so you want to take care of it. And you expect other people to take care of it as well. However, God blessed me with two boys. And my parents are saying this is payback. We've had broken doorknobs, scratched paint, dented floors. We've had a busted pipe. The list could go on and on and on. And homes don't always stay so new. Families are not always perfect. There are times when we mess up, and there are times when things break in the home. There are times where spiritually, husbands or wives fail us. There are times when children fail us, spouses disappoint. And there are times when it might feel like the home is falling apart. But even a worn house can have charm. I think some of the prettiest homes you can look at are not the brand new ones. The ones that have history. The ones that have been through some things. Sometimes it's the dings and scratches that make a home what it's truly meant to be. They say that when muscle tears, as it grows back together where the tear once was, the scar tissue becomes stronger than what it once was. And I think the same thing is true about the home. Sometimes when it seems like things are breaking apart and tearing away, it's in those moments where things are only being made stronger. David and I have a story. David's not here, so I'll blame him for everything. But David and I have a story. Some of you have heard this story. We had a huge window in the front part of our house growing up, and we loved to play hockey. Well, we loved to play horse. But instead of basketball, we would do it with different hockey shots because that's the sport him and I grew up playing together. And so he had the great idea of going out into the street and hitting the puck from the street all the way to the goal, which was right in front of the garage door. Well, off to the side was the big plate glass window. You can see where this is going, right? David had one of the worst shots of his life that day. He was normally a really good shot and can make almost anything, but he had he'll even admit to you this day. It was one of those things that you saw the puck going the way you wanted it to go, and all of a sudden it just starts curving. It was like a magnet straight to that window, and it just shatters. And I just, mom's on the phone with dad at that point, unfortunately, and all I hear is, do you want to know what your boys just did? You know that we're in trouble after that, right? Well, we both got in trouble. We both got grounded, apparently, even though I didn't do anything wrong. Apparently, I provoked David, and that's guilty by association, and we both got grounded. Man, mom and dad were furious. I remember that's probably the most mad I've ever seen them, because to replace a window like that costs a lot of money. I'll never forget just how mad they were. But even now, my dad will give us a look when we tell that story. And even though he was so mad at that point when something looked like it was breaking, it's one of those things that when we tell that story, dad gives us a look like, why did y'all are dumb, you know that, right? But he'll crack a smile, and he'll say, one of those stories that made our house a home. Our spiritual homes are going to have breaking points where sometimes things are going to shatter. There's going to be bumpy roads. Don't leave the pieces on the floor. Instead, it's time to pick up the pieces and keep building. It's those times when those storms come, the wind and the waves and the rains come, as we read in Matthew chapter 7. It's at those times where we need to grab a deeper grip on the foundations of the rock of Christ. Because it's those times when the storms come that things may shake and things may rattle and things may crack. But it's those times where we realize that a family, especially your spiritual family, can be stronger than ever. And lastly, as we close this morning, if not properly built, your home will fall. We all understand that. But built on the right foundation, it can withstand even the fiercest storms. I understand many of you know about and understand tornadoes more than I do. I haven't been through any actual tornadoes. I've been through the sirens at 3 o'clock in the morning and having nowhere to go, because when I first moved here, I had no idea what to do. Now I feel like I'm getting the hang of it. But I want you to look at something here. This is a picture of a storm shelter from an EF5 tornado. Look at everything around it. Some of you have experienced something like this in real life. I haven't. But there's one thing still standing. And the only reason that's still standing is because what they use to dig deep down into the ground has that thing so strongly and firmly implanted into the foundation of this world that even the fiercest tornado couldn't carry that thing away. If our family's foundation is not drilled deep down into the rock of Jesus' words and God's word, we have no chance of withstanding the storms of life. We'll be just like everything else around that storm shelter. And some of you can already attest to the fact that storms of life can knock you over. And I know some of you have said before that if it wasn't for your faith in God and the love of God's people, then you don't know how you would have made it through those storms. But here's the thing, we have to start living this life every single day and helping others realize that without the foundation of Christ, the storms of life can rip us to shreds. And we not only want our spiritual homes to be strong in the foundation of God's Word, but to help each other to make this church become spiritually strong as well, building on the chief cornerstone of Jesus Christ. In these next few months, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be diving deep into the families that God has given us. Not just our secular families, again, but the godly church family that we have as well. And I'm going to say up front as we finish this morning, there's going to probably be things, maybe some today, that are going to make us feel uncomfortable, myself included. There will probably be things that, whether it's in the downstairs Bible class or even things upstairs here when we talk about heaven in our Bible class portion or in these lessons, probably be things that we don't want to hear. There's probably going to be things that when we look at and we hear some of these things, it's easier to point the finger at another family and says, well, this doesn't apply to me, but those kids need that. Or those parents need to hear this. However, our goal is to raise the standard. raise ourselves to the standard that God has put in place. And our goal is to look at ourselves and raise ourselves to what God expects out of all of us. As I said before, we all have the same goal. We might all have different styles of parenting and living to get there, but as long as we're following God's word, we all have the same goal, and that's we want all of our families in heaven. We want this church family in heaven. Now, here's what needs to happen. When we hear something uncomfortable or something we don't like, instead of pointing the fingers or thinking of another family, we take a serious look at what God's word says about my role in my family. That's your objective on the front of the bulletin this month. What's your role in your family? You may have more than one. Maybe you're a father and a husband and a grandfather. Maybe you're a son, a daughter, a wife, a grandmother, an aunt, an uncle. The list can go on and on. What's your role in your home? And more importantly, how are you helping your home grab deep into the foundation of God's word? What's your role in this church? You might have more than one. And what's your role in making sure that you're helping this church, along with your family, to grab deep down in the foundation of God's word, to make sure that we are a church that is following God's word to the best of our ability? To make sure, as Jesus says there in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, that we want to be people who not only hear these sayings, but applies them and does them. As I said at the very beginning, a home can look good from the outside. But if it's not built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, then it has no chance of standing when this earthly world is destroyed. And that's the image I want to leave you with this morning. At some point, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the world and all the things in it are going to be burned up. What's going to be left standing are the people that have planted themselves in the Word of God. And we're going to get to go to a home that is imperishable. It can't be destroyed. And it will last for all eternity. And so imagine this picture here. When this world is all destroyed, will you be the only thing left standing? Will this church be left standing? Will your family be there amongst all the chaos? Will you be able to stand firm and say, I know where I'm going, and that's to the imperishable home of God? That when everything is being burned up, can we look around at each other and say, I am so glad that we took the time to fix the problems and not hide them? To work through the problems and dig deeper into God's word so that we can stand tall on that last day. I know there might be some people here this morning that have not given their life to Christ. And let me just say, that's the first step. If you want to stand tall in the midst of the storms, one thing Christ says is we have to, if we love Him, we're going to keep His commandments. And I think it's very clear in Scripture that there are commandments that if we desire to go after Him, as He says, deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Him. And part of that is by giving ourselves up to death, not the point of a physical death, but that is the spiritual. To give our lives to death, to the worldly, fleshly desires, and rise up in newness of life so that we can walk with Him. And it's when we're hand in hand with Christ, walking through this life, digging deep down into the foundation of His words, that we can withstand the fiercest storms that this world has to offer. Do you want to do that this morning? You need to be baptized. As the people were cut to the heart in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, they said, what do we need to do? Peter replied to them, repent, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, and be baptized. That's where it starts. And the rest is not just hearing the words, but doing them. So let's go do likewise. Let's live not just our own individual lives, but let's teach our families. Let's help this church find the foundation of Christ so we can all be in heaven together someday. If you need to give your life to Christ, come forward as we stand and as we sing.